Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It's season 5, episode 8. And we took a couple day break just because we wanted to have some more stuff to talk about, and we definitely do on this episode. We will be talking about the past two games, the unfortunate loss to Harvard, with I think some early indications of some bright spots that I think led into the next game, which was a win at home against Central Arkansas, which I personally thought there was a lot of things to be happy about. And we'll break down why a 15-point win was probably should have been and could have been closer to 25 if they just would have missed a few more deep step-back threes. But in addition to that all, we also have a mini announcement coming in a little bit with a potential sponsorship and partnership, so make sure to stay with us and listen to that. But Lou, how you holding in there? I know it's been a little bit of a roller coaster here this past week and a bit, you know, week and a half, a few more downs and ups, but looks like we might be on a upswing. So how you doing?
Yeah, quite a shock to not have a episode on Monday, but again, I think we were trying to look for a little brighter topic in a win, and we found one, and excited to talk about the good things, the bad things over the last week and a half. But overall, again, excited to get a fresh start after the MTE, and just again excited for this win and what's coming later this week. A very big game.
Yes, that is true. So yeah, we'll probably talk a little bit about that as well. I'm still in a little bit of shock from Phil Alston's super dunk today. So we'll try to get over that and talk about some more things here on Podcast 63. So stick with us. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So let's start with the lesser of the two games. Loyola's loss at Harvard last week, Ivy League opponent. We've had some transfers recently from some Ivy League programs. And there is a Loyola connection at Harvard. One of their players is a brother of Paxson Wojcik, who is there. Did not play in the game, but is I think he's a sophomore there, if I'm not mistaken. So we traveled out to Cambridge and played a Harvard team that was 5-1 going into the game. You know, I don't think Harvard has had any like huge wins, and their loss was to Louisiana, who's probably not all that great, but I think a team that is solidly average, you know, in terms of all of Division I basketball, right? Like somewhere in that middle ground. They do, as we found out, have a really talented scorer in Chris Ludlum, and we will get into that. But yeah, coming into the game, Loyola had obviously been had a bit of a derailment. I guess I'm going to stick with that roller coaster theme. A bit of a derailment in the Myrtle Beach tournament, losing 3 in a row. And they were hoping they could right the ship and come out with a win. And unfortunately, that was not the case. Harvard did end up beating Loyola 61-55. It was a bit of a mixed bag, to be quite honest. I mean, giving up 30 points is never a good thing, but I do think that they played some solid defense in some of the other guys. I mean, besides Ledlum's, outstanding game, the other starters combined to go 5-for-15 from the field. Like that's, you know, there's something there. They're playing good defense otherwise, but obviously just not good enough defense on their best player. And as far as like Loyola goes, I think there was some positive things. I tweeted about it a little bit. Some fan, or I don't know if they're even fans, but other people, their tweeters were saying, you know, oh, this isn't good. They look bad. Like nothing's changed. And that just is straight up not true. There were some big changes. For one, Ben Schweiger starting lineup. Like that is a big change. I thought Bryce Golden played extremely well in the first half in limited time. The trimming of the lineup in the second half, I thought was good. Going really with like nine guys, trusting, we've seen Braden play those big minutes and, he played 38 in this game, but Ben Schweiger playing 33 minutes and not coming out for the last 10 minutes of the game, except for like little defense offense subs at the end. Like that's some big stuff. So I thought that there were some good things. Still just too many turnovers and crunch time was really what did them in. I think they were down by like four at one point with like 4 minutes left, something to that effect. And then they had turnovers in the next two possessions and two missed free throws. That's the ball game, right? You got three possessions, like crunch time possessions, two turnovers, and then two missed free throws. Like, you're not going to win many games when you're doing that. So, and those are kind of just some of my takeaways. Lou, I know you had some thoughts, but I'm sure you were not too pleased with their defensive performance on their best player, Chris Ludlam.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Shocker there. I would say when you look at just the stat line, when you see a player who's nearly averaging 20 points a game, maybe guard him or defend him. Granted, though, I'll have to say he did find a way to get five steals. And I think the biggest thing of this game for me, yeah, I've said it before, points off turnovers, right? But Harvard also had like 16 fast break points. I find pretty high. Fast break points usually tend to be where the team that's pushing has the advantage. So, and in looking right, I think that they led to a lot of wide open kind of turnovers by Loyola and then point stuff for Harvard. So yeah, I think that was just something that was kind of was really frustrating. And again, it wasn't behind the arc either by Harvard. Harvard only made four threes the entire game. They just, again, I say they, it's really just one player, right? It's Chris, Ludlam, and it's just blatantly he was driving and putting everything up. Again, 11 of 17 is not something you want to see from a person to make 11 shots. 11 shots alone just from two is 22 points. And then he mixed in two threes, and then he had not afraid with that driving to get to the line. 6 of 10, not great, which is like, oh, thank God he was only on 60%. He makes two more, he adds 32 to his sheet. So, again, nothing from the bench was great from Harvard. It really was just, honestly, one player had a great night, I think, and benefited off our horrendous, again, double-digit turnovers and just kind of sloppy play. Because most of the fast break points, I think Ludlam benefited off. And I think that's just the tough thing, right? But again, I would say the biggest thing so far is that our field goal percentage is roughly averaging still over 40%. Liked it in the first half a little bit. I think, again, we beat Harvard in the second half, and that's great. And I saw that, and I was going to be like, oh, that's my positive. But I think it was just the sloppy play in the first half did so much to just kind of anchor us down. Like, Harvard had 13 points off turnovers just alone in the first half. And then fast break points, I found this really interesting. Harvard had 7. We had no fast break points in the first half. So it just, like, that 7 points, though, that's the lead in the first half. So it's like, again, we're trying to find ways because, again, for me, and the hardest thing for me, Buck, was, like, trying to find the issue besides turnovers. And it was just, like, our shooting was doing well over the Myrtle Beach games. Like, we were shooting it, again, 2-point percentage. We were top in the country. Like, we were there. We were right there. So it seems to be this Achilles heel of, like, sloppy play, regardless of its turnovers or just, like, because there are times, even in the Harvard game, and we've seen it before, where a sloppy play might not have turned the ball over, but it had a bad effect on, like, maybe the shot, or it, like, was a rush shot, or it was just a poorly timed play. And, yeah, it might not show up as a turnover in the box score, but it was kind of a bad possession, right? Empty possessions is what we say, right? I think that's kind of the crazy thing. I think another one is, what, Marquise Kennedy, though, had four turnovers, but two of them were offensive fouls, if I remember that correctly. Then it brings it down. So, yeah, there's a mixed bag with this Harvard game, right? I really thought this would be an opportunity. But, again, I think it was just the sloppy play stopped us from doing great things. But yeah, overall, again, Harvard had one guy play great. I think we kept it up with everyone else. I think the biggest thing is Tom Welch for me was a big surprise. Led the team in scoring, but a big surprise is because I felt like they had some big guys on Harvard to kind of compete with. I felt like almost every team prior to MTE, we kind of played small teams, right? So for Harvard to kind of somewhat have big guys was interesting for me. But I think the biggest thing was that he led the way in scoring. But again, Buck, right? That's kind of the consistency. But I want to hear what you saw out of Ben really quick, and then we'll kind of go over everyone. But Tom was my kind of peak. Again, I'm taking the leading scorer, so it's maybe a little unfair. But you mentioned Ben starting and playing 33 minutes. What did you see out of that that really kind of surprised you, or was just like, yep, that's kind of who he is, or what the gameplay is?
Yeah, I think it's just as simple as like making smart decisions. I really, you know, he still did have three turnovers, but one, like, he dribbled off his leg, which is unfortunate, and another, I believe, was an offensive foul as well. Like, those aggressive turnovers don't bother me as much.
I do wish offensive fouls were a separate turnover category. Now, I understand it's a dead possession, but I agree with you there. It's a little like, oh, it's an aggressive move. Like, I'm not mad too much.
Sometimes it's just a good play by a defender. Yep. You know, it's literally just like putting your body on the line. So, no, I agree. But yeah, I think he's just making better decisions. Like, I think we even saw kind of toward the end, he played in the third game of Myrtle Beach. I still don't really know why he didn't play in the second game, but it's neither here nor there. Even in that game against Texas A&M, I thought he was making better decisions just on both ends of the court, really. I mean, like, he's been more aggressive. We saw even at UIC, I think that was the first time we kind of got a little glimpse of that. Just more aggressive. I think his ball handling is pretty good. I think it's better than I had anticipated. And we haven't seen a ton of the threes go down, at least, you know, not before today. But good threes. Like, it's not, they're all in rhythm. They're all, you know, for the most part, like, right at the three-point line, like, nothing too deep. And we know he can make them, so... I think his defensive pressure is great too. I think he's improved on that even in the first seven games of the year. His length is really a huge plus for this team on defense. We saw it. I saw it in the Harvard game a little bit too. He poked a couple away and did get one steal. But in the game against Central Arkansas as well, like getting a block and a steal. So I think it's just like his overall play. I don't really think – I would say the thing that stands out most is just his decision-making. But, I mean, for him to play 33 minutes against Harvard, and then I think he played 33 or 34 minutes against Central Arkansas tonight, like, it's just – it's obvious. Like, the trust is there. I think he's taking a step forward, and now teams are going to have to adjust back. Like, he will become part of the scouting report, and then it's up to him to figure out – what's his next move. I saw some great passes from him. I really like the pick and roll or pick and pop with Ben and Phil. I think that is such just like a dynamic, like, athletic duo. You know, even if Ben is coming off those screens and shooting mid-range shots and then having Phil crash the boards, like, that's an effective play as well. If Phil's going to grab those boards more often than not. So yeah, I just, like, I think also he's not fouling. I mean, sometimes it's that simple. I mean, we've heard Lucas say, back when he was a freshman, like, he fouled out, I think, of his first game or something like that. And he said, like, he's like, I'm not going to see the court unless I stop fouling. And of course, you know, knock on wood, 'cause now I probably ruined it, but Ben has not had an issue with fouling. And so he can just stay on the court, which is sometimes just half the battle. So,
yeah,
and I am really, yeah, really impressed with what I've seen from Ben in the past few games.
And you bring up fouling, and I think that's kind of just the next point. I think the big, big factor, in my opinion, of this game was Phil Ballston only played 17 minutes and fouled out again. What, I think he got three in the first half, was it? That kept him, or would he?
I think
he barely played in the first
half. I think he got his third. Yeah, I think he got his third foul with like 2 minutes in the first or in the second half.
Yeah, so
like it was he picked up his third really quick.
And it wasn't not a lot of again he put up seven shots, so he still was able to put again maybe playing more than 17 minutes you see a different kind of outcome, right? Five of his rebounds of again he only had five rebounds were all offensive rebounds.
I died
laughing when I read that stat. But yeah, I think that's to your point, a really interesting situation where it's like, I think I would hope Drew is having Phil with, or Phil, I don't know how he prefers it, but I think he's asking them with doing more than just like a highlight reel. They kind of heard that, again, I don't know how the play by play announcers are, they know these things, but they see Drew kind of drawing at Phil on the sidelines, and it's like I don't think it's really fun. I think it's just like, hey, like you're great on this. I want to see even like do something more, right? Be that well
challenging.
Yeah, it's more challenging, right? That's the thing. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like I don't think you can do it. I think it's I know you can. I want to see you do more. And that's the hope, right? You hope that's what Drew's goal is as much as Phil's. And again, unless we're invited to the locker room, we won't know. But yeah, I think that's a big kind of like shot in the back just for us. I guess, again, the summary of the MT was, hey, this is Phil can score and put up some offense. But when he only plays 17 minutes, it's like, ooh, that's kind of tough. So I think having that was tough for me. Again, though, I think Tom kind of really helped out there, maybe 5 or 6. But I would love to see a little bit more minutes again, maybe a different game. In my opinion, probably a different game. It is tough to say that like would have turned the whole score, but we only lost by 6, and I think that massively to maybe just. I think we still would have gone into the first half, gone into half to empty, but it could have just the momentum and not getting it for 5 or 2 minutes. So
yeah,
I think that one was a tough one. And then just really Braden, 30, I was shocked that he played 38 minutes. For some reason, didn't feel like he did, only because just like 2 of 7, just like, again, not like amazing, but still something. I think this game was kind of a shocker. We had some numbers, and the reason I'm bringing up Braden is Braden only had 2 assists, but like really, no one really had assists. Yeah, Ben had 3. That's something that's been really low, and that was just something I wanted to. It's like what this game really showed me. It's like we got to find a way to get our assist, and I think that's something that definitely changed in this game. We're recording this game against Central Arkansas, so it was just interesting to be like, oh, are we going to get some ball movement? And ball movement was still in the other game and way less. So. Yeah, I think those are the 3 kind of big pillars for me as players. Or again, I added Braden, so 4. I think would you want to say Marquise is still finding his way after the MTE? Again, 4 turnovers is tough, but 2 of them. It's a different game. Again, we're recording this, so we're in a different game after this, but still a tough game for him. I think he was still adjusting, so. Yeah, I'm so far noticing after the Harvard game that we can't play outside the state of Illinois. That just if we stay inside the state of Illinois, I think so far I'd be happy with that. But again, we got to go on the road with the A-10 now. You're crossing the country, so. But yeah, no, I think were there any big shockers for you, or anything else with the Harvard game besides of course turnover we've done.
Yeah, I just think the guard play just hasn't been good enough. I think it's honestly that simple. Like Marquise and Braden just were not good enough in that game. Like 7 turnovers combined.
Just ball movement generally. Like, are you particular?
All I mean, it's just all of it. Like impact. They haven't been impacting the game in the ways that we know they can. Like we know, you know, even if Marquise doesn't score a ton of points, we know he can go up and get rebounds. We know he can get steals and blocks and drive the ball, kick it out, that sort of thing. Like, he doesn't need to score points to have a great game. But in this game, it just wasn't good enough to have an impactful game. Same with Braden. I mean, like, yeah, his shooting is usually his calling card, or it has been for this team, but we also know that he, you know, it can orchestrate the offense and get sets in and run plays to get open shots, and there wasn't any of that either. So for me, it just, I thought a lot of the other guys played pretty well. Like we've mentioned, Tom, Phil, when he was in there, Ben, I thought played solid. Bryce had a good game. Even Jaden Dawson, I thought, even though he didn't score a ton, I thought he had some pretty solid minutes. But those lead guards, I mean, those are your senior leaders, right? Those are the guys that have been in the program for 4 years now. They need to step up. And I think this team and the fans as well should expect more from Marquise and Braden specifically. So that, I think, is pretty much my big thing, my big letdown from this game.
Yeah.
Luckily, they play a bunch more games, so they have opportunity to step up and change their, you know, change their path and figure it out. So
yeah, I think my weird thing of the game was Jalen Quinn. Did we see? I actually don't even remember. He was out, but pretty sure I didn't see him.
No, he's healthy.
Yeah,
no, he's healthy.
They played 2 minutes. A little weird. Don't think that was like, oh, Ben can get all the minutes and Jalen won't. I think Jalen and Ben complement each other very nicely. Jokingly, it kind of takes the ball out of Ben's hand from, like, in my opinion, needing to make a pass. I think Jalen can get some. Yeah, no, I agree. The guard play, I think overall, any the ball carrier kind of movement slash, I think shooting guard and guard, right? I think both shooting guard. We've had some weird, like, is our shooting guard, and then we had the point guard. We probably tempo the ball. I think that those are like looking for those answers. I think honestly, the forward and center. Now the center position, I don't know if we're going to ever get consistent minutes from either of the two guys. It's not for them to really decide. That's going to be the coaching staff. But yeah, I think right now the small forward is probably our most consistent spot. And again, the whole game, one forward doesn't even play majority of the game, and he still puts up their most points, so, and most rebounds tied. So, yeah. So again, tough game for sure. Wanted the W, but I don't even want to. Oh, because I didn't play better. I said Chris Ledlow played better. And,
yeah, he really did. Sometimes
just, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's frustrating to say like we could have hurt one guy. I don't know. We could have maybe double teamed and found an open person, right? So I'm not gonna go into fans. What if we just did this? Yeah, Chris Ledlam went up and put up 30 points and 5 steals and 9 rebounds up against us, and shot pretty well. So that's just kind of the it goes, right. Like 11 of 17 is very good shooting. Way over 50%. And just what he needs to do. And yeah, frustrating as it is, that we lost a pretty important.
Yeah, sometimes it's just one small thing that ends up doing you in. And speaking of small, have you heard of a company called Mini Jerseys?
Yeah, it's not small, it's mini.
It's not small, it's mini. Yeah, Mini Jerseys is now the official. We have a partnership with Mini Jerseys. They are the official merchandise provider for Podcast 63, and we are their official podcast provider. So Mini Jerseys is a great company. I'm sure you all know a little bit about it. They have really led the charge when it comes to Loyola NIL name, image, and likeness gear. Supporting both the men's and women's basketball team with personalized jerseys and other merchandise. So we'll be promoting them on the podcast a little bit here and there. You'll see and doing some other fun things. Lots of stuff in the works. But for now, before we get too far into it, we just want to say make sure to check them out. I think it's just minijerseys.com, and it's jerseys with a Z, J-E-R-Z-E-Y-S. If you want to get some great merchandise, so check them out. And thank you, Mini Jerseys. Going on from there, we did drop that game 61-55. But now we get to talk about some more fun stuff, and that is a victory at home against Central Arkansas.
We did have another connection. Harvard assistant coach was our former Loyola Hemet's head basketball coach. Blair Farmerson was on the set. It was my fun fact of the preview. I guess you didn't read it. I get it.
Did you read mine?
For Central Arkansas? No. It was I was traveling. But no. I laughed. Okay. I laughed when I saw that we connected there. But you know what's even funnier to laugh about? Winning. This Central Arkansas.
Yeah, it is.
Not something that you would have seen the Larry Smart in days. I don't think he had one single winning season for us. Isn't it nice to win? I realized that. Like, I was frustrated watching.
It really just cures.
Yeah. For those listening, Buck was able to make the game. I wasn't able to make the game. But it was just like those things where it's like, I was getting frustrated at the screen. And I was like, wait, we're going to win. Like, we haven't won in four games. I'm just going to be happy to win. And I think that was just the fact that hit me, Buck. It was like, we haven't won in four games. It wasn't that, like, we're on a two-game losing streak. We're on a four-game losing streak. 3 in 3 days. Or sorry, 3 in 4 days. Sorry, right? We took off on Saturday. Don't know why. We played 5 days later and kind of got beat by one guy. So it's like, can we just win? Can we just find a way to win? Like the USA men's soccer team. Just it might be ugly. But just win. Like, honestly, that's all we need. And we did it. How was it in person? What was the feeling?
It was fun. I think it was a good atmosphere. It was a weeknight. It was also a late night game, which it was an hour later than usual. We both have said, I don't really know why they did that, but I'm sure there's a reason somewhere. The student section was great. Full, as always. So, big shout out to them. I think it was a little bit of back and forth. You know, at times I think the lead, I think, shrunk to 4. I don't think it ever got to 3 after, like, the first 5 minutes or so. There was a little, some groaning, a couple, I think, some fans were, myself included, were a little frustrated with I felt like the refs were getting really sensitive in the second half. Like, they just called a different game in the second half. And I think that's kind of frustrating for some of the guys. And just those, like, deep, deep threes. I mean, they had to have hit 5 threes from at least 5 feet.
But, like, behind everyone, the 3-point line. Central Arkansas could hit a deep three. That was the crazy thing.
Yeah, I mean, most of them, I mean, like, they might have had one or two of those deep threes that were walk-in threes, which those are, you know, you need to get a hand in their face. But most of those threes, they had hands up in their face. Like, most of them. So, I, you know, sometimes you just got to tip your cap. There's sometimes nothing you can do about it. But when Central Arkansas,
that blew my mind from three for them.
From three or just in general?
They were 44 overall, but 53 in the second half.
Yeah, but like when they got, like, just from that stat, like when they got the ball down low, or like when Central Arkansas shot not 3-pointers, Loyola's defense was suffocating. Like, quite honestly, I mean, like they really did a great job of switching, of helping. A few block shots, I want to say like 3 or 4, or 2, okay, I think it was more than that, but I thought Loyola's defense played well. I mean, even considering they hit 13 threes, like, I do think they played well. They created 12 turnovers, which isn't bad. You know, you'd like to see a couple more, but they were able to get a few live ball turnovers, which helped with some fast break opportunities. And man, it was just so fun to see Ben Schweiger, like, pop off. Like, that was just like he hit like a couple threes, I think, in the first half, maybe one or two, but then once he really got going in the second half, he hit like 4 from the corner, I want to say at least 3, and right by Loyola's bench, and like on probably 3-pointer number 3, he turned to the bench, stuck out his tongue, and like, you know, was like joking around with the guys. And then he did that like 3 more times after that. Like, it became this like joke with the bench. Like, it was like, you know, he's just not gonna miss from there. So that was fun to see. I thought Marquise played really well. I thought his intensity was different. Like, I thought he was really focused. I thought I saw him be more emotional, even on plays that weren't super meaningful, or, you know, like a tip ball out of bounds, right? Something like that. And he's like clapping, or like, I think Ben drove the hoop and got blocked one time, and Ben kind of like put his head down, and Marquise ran up to him and was like, no, like, that's good. Like clapping in his face, like, no, keep it up. You know, that kind of thing. So I thought the energy was good. Obviously Phil Alston dunk, brought the house down. And Saint made sure to run around and tell everyone about it and get everyone hyped up. So that was cool to see. It was a fun game. I think they played really well. I honestly think the score doesn't even really resemble how much this team, how well the Loyola played tonight on Wednesday. I think they could have won this game by 25 points, like really easily. I know that's like easy for me to say sitting at my computer and being like, oh yeah, they should have won by more. But I really do think that they could have won by 25 really easily. So
yeah, no, I don't think that's bad at all statement to say. I think the biggest thing is those threes were kind of just like, if we maybe played a little bit more up in their face and three threes don't fall, that's 61-85. Right. So I agree. I think that was just a little frustrating because, right, they, first of all, Central Arkansas wasn't kind of really letting go. They were like a child and we're the mother and we just weren't letting them go. We would go up 12, we'd go up 14, 10, and it would, like, all of a sudden we're still back to four. A four kept being the number, at least that I kept seeing, right? We only led by four at half. It was like 52-56. It was like, I was like, it kept being four. I was like, okay, it's never going to go below four, but it's, we're never going to get past 20, I guess, right? And I think, what, there might have been one point where we got past 20 tonight, which, again, it's great. So, I think it did show some things, honestly. I'm not going to lie. I had to pay attention to how I feel. And, again, I am agreeing with you. I am sitting at my desk right now while we record this, so I'm comfy saying this. I am not a player. But some of the things felt like the way we could break away from teams like Central Arkansas – that we didn't are also the reason why we're staying in close games with teams I think we should win a little bit more comfortable with. For example, like UIC, right? I think, and it really wasn't the offense that had me concerned a little bit, was just the defense, right? And it was like, do we see a lead and we're like, oh, we're comfortable, we can take a break, right? I don't know. I feel like the defense is quite different than last year. Now, granted, it also helps. Last year we had an All-Valley Player of the Year. I will say he should have been Player of the Year. That is a for fact. And he was Defensive Player of the Year. And this year we just don't have that player, right? So that's a massive difference in the defense, right? We also don't have Ahir Ugwuok, who was, what, third-team defense, second-team defense? So when you have two guys who are pretty much perfected 4 years of defense, like, sorry, perfected 4 years in becoming the better defender, right? I think that's just something we have to find. And again, I think our offense, though, allowed us to play good defense, right? To take the lead, right? Our offense was amazing tonight. It was 54%. Everything was above 50%, again, from field and three. Free throw was even over 75%, which for this team, I'll take it. I will very much take it. So the offense spoke wonders. And that was the thing, right? Like, though, if you go back, our offense has done pretty good consistently from the MTE. I think it was just the lowest amount of turnovers we had so far, right? And then I think, and I'm going to now have to look at this and tweet it, this might be the first time we've had more assist to turnover ratio.
I think it's really close.
Yeah, maybe the, I forget which game.
Maybe UIC, but...
No, not even. I think I'll have to... Again, I'll look into it, but yeah. This was the biggest concern because I'm pretty sure we've had I think we're still below, like, an assist to turnover rate. We're not even, like, one assist to one turnover right now. I don't think we're even there yet. We averaged 19.1 turnovers per game and only 13.1 assists. So even on average, we don't average more assists than turnovers. So that was like a smile in my face. because I was like, whoa,
yeah,
we're clean, we're moving the ball clean, and we're not turning it over, right? I think John Rothstein even said last year, wasn't it last year where we started off the season, like 22 yep. assists per our 28, I don't know, field goals or something like that. Like it was like
4-1. I was talking assist to turnovers last year. But it was something like that too, where it was like 50 assists on 59 field goals
or something like that. Yeah. So even both, right? Both stats, those are the stats you want to be consistent in. The assists, I think, are crucial with this team of helping the field goal flow and the limiting the turnover flow. That's just obvious, right? When you have your first game be your higher assist to turnover ratio, and also when you have 21 assists on 30 made field goals, that's a pretty good stat. You're telling me 2 out of 3 made shots were off a field goal or off an assist. That's a really good stat. So like those are stats that you're comfortable and getting happy with. Again, I think the rebounding and stuff like that right now, this game is more about how the offense clicked. And I think the root of it is we were able to move the ball a lot more cleanly. Like that's just what it is. Like there were still sloppy turnovers. I think we could have had under 10. I think there was one where Ben just like dropped it by mistake, felt bad. And then I think there was just another one. Someone wasn't like looking ahead or looking up or something. I forget who it was now. Just head was kind of down. So again, nothing crazy. Again, Braden also held the ball for the last one. So there's 3. Yeah, I'm loving the assist, Buck. I think that's just something you hadn't seen at all this year. And I think those on a consistent basis is what breaks us away in games from teams like Central Arkansas, but also keeps then the pressure off teams down the road. Like we have DePaul, we have Clemson, Stanford, teams that will take advantage of a sloppy mistake. And we can't, then they won't look back, right? So.
Yeah, I think you're right about the taking care of the ball. I thought they did an excellent job in the second half, just bar none. They really only had 2 turnovers because, as you pointed out, Braden held the ball at the end of the game. That counts as a turnover. I thought they were more patient. I saw from everyone, Ben, Phil, Tom, Marquise. Like I really thought the team as a whole just kind of had a different mindset. You know, there was a couple times where they had like a 3-on-3 fast break opportunity and like Saint would just like pull the ball out. Like, let's reset. You know, this isn't, you know, the lanes aren't filling up right. Just pull the ball out. And I thought that played really well into their hand. It was something I've been talking about. Like, I would like to see them do a little more rather than push, like pressing the fast break every time. Pull the ball out, reset, and let your guards go to work or give it to Phil and let him, you know, try to get his own offensive rebound. So that was something that was great. I mean, truly, 100% honesty, that second half was a brilliant performance in just terms of holding on to the ball. As you point out, I think that was in the second half as well. Yeah. That was in the first half where Ben, like, it was kind of a loose ball. It rolled to Ben, and then he went to just, like, kind of grab it, and it, like, fell out of his hands for an easy layup. That was so frustrating. But, you know, that's the sort of thing where he didn't – it wasn't a mental mistake, right? He just biffed it. Like, there's nothing to say.
Yeah, it was just it wasn't like, oh, my God, how could you? It just, like, kind of ran without gathering the ball first. Running backs do it all the time. Like, it was just one of those or a shortstop looking to collect the ball and the ball's not even in the glove. Just one of those mental things. So, yeah, no, absolutely.
But yeah, it just like, one of the things that stood out to me, I looked up at one point at the scoreboard toward the end of the game and I think, I was with my buddy and he goes, oh man, that guy doesn't have any points. And I look up and he's talking about Saint and I was like, oh, you know, like, I don't know. It's just sometimes the ball doesn't bounce the right way. Like sometimes he shoots too much. I'm happy he's not really shooting, you know, a ton of shots. And I look over, and he's got 7 assists. Like I knew he had a pretty decent game passing, but that's a huge number for him. Like that is, he is an excellent passer. We've been talking about it since before he enrolled at Loyola. He is an excellent passer. And tonight was just the first of, I hope, many games that we are able to say, like, he truly put on a bit of a clinic passing the ball. One turnover. Like that's, 7 assists to 1 turnover is fantastic. So yeah, he didn't score. He will score the ball. We know he can shoot the 3. Like, we know that he's had his, you know, and ones against UIC, for instance. Like, I'm not worried about that. I'm happy to see that he's not chucking up shots and he's looking for great opportunities for his teammates. Like, that is even the dunk to Phil Alston, that's set up by a pass by St. Thomas. The fast break, I can't remember if he dunked it or not, but one of Ben's layups was a fast break 2-on-1 from St. to Ben. Like, that, there's just some really important shots that were created by St.'s passes. So, love to see that. I thought both Marquise and Braden played really solid in the second half. Both of them made 3 threes, which is great to see. Some of Marquise's is like, ooh, don't shoot that. Oh, you know, great result, right? It goes in. But maybe he's going to take a step forward in the shooting category. I mean, that would be great. I'm happy to see if they're open and in rhythm, go ahead and take them. Braden, I know he hit 2 early in the game, like, love to see that. Hit 1 later in the game, which is nice to see. Couple fadeaway mid-range jump shots, those will always be open for him because of how Loyola runs their offense. Yeah, how Loyola runs their offense, they want to get threes, they want to get layups. That is like their bread and butter, right? Or fill with an offensive rebound. So because of that, defense, you know, is either going to guard heavy on the three-point line, and then once you start driving, they're going to back off to try to get to the paint before you can to play defense. So I'm happy. Braden, if those mid-range jumpers are open, 1, 2, maybe even 3 a game, like, go ahead and take them. Like, he's a great jump shooter. He's going to hit most of them if he's open. So I love seeing that. Those are fun from Braden just to kind of expand his game. It was a good win, a solid win. This, you know, I don't know how good Central Arkansas is going to be, but I saw some things that we had been hoping for put into work here. Turnovers are down, assist numbers are up, 3-point shot was great, getting to the bucket, defending within the paint, I thought was really good. You know, still probably a few too many offensive rebounds than I'd like to see, but I thought just overall it was a good game from a lot of our Ramblers. The couple guys that I thought probably could have played a little better. I'm still hoping Sheldon breaks out of this little slump he's got. I thought he was more locked in on defense. I mean, there's a couple of possessions where I really saw him defending his butt off, like rotating and stuff. But it's just for these new guys, the communication on defense needs to be a little bit better. Just a few too many breakdowns. And even this was probably my biggest pet peeve of the whole game. The end of the first half, they call a timeout. It's their ball, like 26 seconds left. They should draw up a play. And Marquise brings the ball out and dribbles for 15 seconds. And meanwhile, Braden is shouting back and forth at the bench, like, where should, you know, they're trying to tell him to get somewhere, go over there, come over here. And it ends up just like Marquise backing down a guy in the post and shooting a fadeaway jump shot. That is a horrible, horrible thing to have happen. With 26 seconds on the shot clock, you call a timeout, draw up a play. I don't care if you airball the shot, if you get an open shot. Like, you need to draw. That should be something that Drew needs to fix ASAP. Like, that, those possessions can mean a lot at the end of the game. So that is something that really, really bothered me. And I hope that never happens again. And I will mention it if it does. So,
well, you mentioned it to his face, and really, really, how much it really, really bothered you.
If we got into talking about basketball, like legitimately talking about basketball, yeah, I would say, hey, man, like, what's going on with your ATOs, after timeouts? Like fix, you know, that what happened there? I would be more curious. How did that happen?
No,
yeah, I would probably say, like, it wasn't good enough. How did it happen?
Yeah, no, so, anyway, I think if anyone were to tell me, oh, we didn't have to worry because we were up by 4. Braden had just turned it over, like, the possession before. Mm-hmm. And then, what, I think they had, like, an out-of-bounds turnover because we didn't steal it. So, like, you already had lost, like, the chance of maybe a 2-for-1 kind of deal, mm-hmm. maybe, like, if you rushed it. So how about you just kind of collect yourself and get a bucket, right? I think that's the hope. Because I agree with you. I think the fact that we were only up by four, you're like, okay, being up another two really helps, or even three, right? So no, I'm totally fine with that. I think the biggest kind of just question mark that I had was just like finding that, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to say we weren't dominating, right? I think from three, we were great. Four guys in double digits. It was just like, there are certain guys that was like, oh, like missed threes. I think Sheldon and I was like, oh, did you really need to take that? And then, yeah, I think Bryce was a decent 1-for-4, but oh, the 2 threes by Bryce. What? What? We don't need to do that. I have to look back at the shot clock and see if it was low. If it was low, then it was low. I'm not going to be too mad. I felt like the second one
wasn't bad, but yeah, one was like just not necessary.
Yeah, so that one kind of got me. But yeah, I think then the only thing I wanted to see a little bit more, communication on rebounding. That was just something I noticed. I'm going to follow it through a little bit now. We had like 2 to 3 guys jump for the ball, and there was one or two times where the ball came back for a second chance points for two Central Arkansas. So again, nothing too, they only had, I think, 5 second chance points overall. Because the, but I just think I was more in the second half that I was like, oh, what was the rebounding situation? And, I felt like we could have just been a little bit, it was just interesting. Like, I think I saw one where Ben, Saint, and Phil were all going for the rebound, and I was like, who's got the rebound? Let's figure this out. So
yeah,
and again, it's
there's a little more communication.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I say that is like, I think games like more physical when it comes to DePaul, when it comes to Clemson, potentially, like that might save a breakout, a dribble, like a ball, loose ball that falls back into the opponent's hand and like a shot goes up, right? Or they get to reset the shot clock kind of thing. So those are just the things you look forward to. Again, we got, again, as much as people critique and praise this podcast, we got to praise and critique a win anyway, right? But hey, it was a win. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to take to the bank. Not only am I going to be happy with a 54% field goal percentage, these gentlemen shot over 75% from free throw.
Right.
Like my New York Jets, we have this kid who gets ice cream after that. I'm going to give my dog a dog treat for Loyola Ramblers shooting over 75% from free throw. Like, that's really good. Should it be 80%? Yes. But am I going to be greedy? No. Like, 75% is 3 of 4. I'll take that any day, right? Yeah. That's just where this team's at. We're not, like, again, Braden is one thing, yes. When it comes to certain players, we're going to expect a little bit more. Again, sadly, the only one who missed from free throw tonight was Phil. I think, and Ben, sorry, I think I see Ben missed too as well. So
yeah,
everyone else, even including Bryce, but like Braden is going to drill them in my opinion. And I think you're absolutely right with that fadeaway. Like if he drives, I think he gets that foul on him. I trust that fadeaway as much as I trust the three. So yeah, but overall, mm-hmm. I think a great way to get a W. We're still in a losing record. So I think this kind of puts you back on the path toward getting back off the ground. And especially for a game that's pretty important, just for bragging rights, come Saturday, a nice one to like get what a win feels like, right? Like forget about the four games, they're over. You can't go back and play those four games. Go and try to win the rest of them, right? Like that's just what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So no, very happy with this win. Just let's not try to play at 8 again. I don't know why we played at 8. Just NBC Sports explain to me why. No Bears game tonight. Was there a Bulls game? I don't know. But no need.
It was on ESPN Plus, I think, wasn't it?
I had ESPN.
I don't even think it was on.
But on the schedule, it says NBC Sports Chicago Plus.
Oh,
Plus.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
I don't know Chicago. Just for reference, it says online it's NBC Sports Chicago Plus, which is probably just ESPN Plus. Mm-hmm. And then Saturdays is NBC Sports streaming. Chicago. So that's
what. Yeah, that's like actual cable. Not cable, well, but like.
Yeah, I get what
TV.
You're saying. TV, exactly. Us older days, the colored. Yeah, the TV with not black and white.
Yeah, right.
So, no. Yeah. But no, I think, like Buck, let's be honest, the four games sucked, but hey, we got a W and we got a huge game to get ready for on Saturday. And now these guys, I think, can go light tomorrow, but practice the next 2 days. planning to hopefully try for another one on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to quickly both call myself out and pat myself on the back here. A little yin and yang.
Okay.
I was wrong last week when I said that I thought Braden would break the slump and give us a win against Texas A&M. You know, I said I thought he was going to step up, senior leader, all that kind of stuff, and that did not happen. But I did in this preview say that I was looking for either Ben Schweiger or Jaden Dawson to have a big role. And just talked a little bit about Schweiger's ability to do a little bit of everything. I wasn't expecting 26 points, but I thought that, I mean obviously Ben was outstanding, like, in this game. And just really cool to see him have this kind of day, especially for a guy who redshirted last year, right? And, like, you know, really paid his dues. And, you know, there might be a guy on the team this year that is looking at that. Trey Lewis has yet to see the court this year. We don't know what's going on there. But even if he is not redshirting, still for him to see a guy who did that last year and have his shine, right? And, like, and really improve over that year and show it on the court. Like, that's huge. That's a program booster. That's not just a guy having a good day at the office. Like, that's meaningful, and it's got to be really cool for him, but cool for his teammates too, to be able to, like, you know, cheer him on and just support him and all that kind of stuff. So Ben was just super, super fun to watch. I think, at times, even in the first half when he still hadn't, you know, he had like 6 or 8 points at one point, I'm still thinking to myself, man, he looks like the best player on the court right now. Like, Braden started off well. Phil had a lot of great moments. But I think Ben Schweiger was the best player on the court tonight. Mm-hmm. And that is saying a lot for a guy who is in game 7 of his Loyola career. So,
yeah, no, it's saying for a lot also from a guy who didn't draft him in fantasy basketball. Just saying. Oh, who did draft him, ladies and gentlemen? That's me. I did draft Ben. Just want
to. Oh, did you actually?
And who did he have in his starting lineup this week? Ben.
So. Nah. Oh, did you have him in your starting lineup?
Yes, I do.
Oh, let's go. Okay.
Moved him in after the Harvard game. Felt there might have been a change.
He was playing a lot.
Well, he started, right? Yeah. That's the big thing.
Right.
I think that was like, oh, this is interesting. So. Yeah, just had also yin yang.
Yeah, I'm happy with
yin yang
my
here, yin yang, so it's okay.
Thanks. Thank you for yinging my yang, and I will be sure to yang my own yang. It is late. Maybe we should wrap it up before we just become a puddle of a mess.
Absolutely.
So, any last thoughts? Anything we didn't get to just yet?
What a win. It feels nice, and just excited to think about Saturday. Hey, all come out. We'll be excited. It should be a packed Gentile. And excited for another city rivalry. Again, if at UIC was as more surprising as I thought it was going to be, I will not expect anything less from a home crowd on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a big Saturday. We got to wake up bright and early. Got to watch our U.S. Men's soccer team go to war against the Netherlands, I believe.
Yep.
Not literally. We don't want to start a war, but maybe I should have chosen a different set of words. And then we got the men's game at 3, and then stick around, stay at Gentile, and the women play at 5:30. They're taking on Bradley, so I have some rather harsh feelings towards Bradley, so maybe some other fans do as well. But then also on just tomorrow on Thursday, the women are traveling over to UIC to take them on. So. If you're looking for something to do on a Thursday, go ahead and travel there. You'll see me sitting at a table somewhere, and I'm looking, you know, a little more like I know what I'm doing. So
getting
you might not recognize me anymore.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, just a great solid win. I really felt like this is some, you can take some good things away from this game, not just, ooh, we squeaked by, right? Like, some really positive change. And that is a fun thing to see. And hopefully we can keep it up and make it 2 in a row and knock off the Blue Demons, the Blue Devils, the Raging something, DePaul on Saturday. So Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.